We're in a series entitled Marriage on the Rock. We've been studying principles from the Word of God. How can we build our marriages according to the Scriptures? Last week, we started a lesson entitled The Destructive Wife, and we're going to continue that this morning from 1 Peter chapter number 3. Now, sometimes ladies in relationships can get frustrated, and every now and then the Lord gives you an opportunity maybe to get back or get even. A woman died and she went to heaven, and as she arrived at the pearly gate, she was greeted there with St. Peter. And Peter said, now before you come in, you have to spell a word. And she was kind of, you know, startled by this. She had never read this in the Bible. And she said, well, what word? And he said, well, any word you get to pick. And she said, well, I pick love, L-O-V-E, love. And he said, good job, you can come on in. And then as she was making her in, Peter kind of called her and said, hey, could you come back? And he said, honestly, I got a few things I need to do. Could you just man my post for a few minutes? And if anybody were to come, you follow these same procedures that I gave with you. And she said, oh, sure, I'd be happy to do that. So Peter left, and she was there for just a moment. And all of a sudden, her ex-husband walked up. And she said, what are you doing here? And he said, well, I just had a heart attack, and I'm kind of amazed I made it here myself. And she said, well, you haven't quite made it yet. You have to spell a word. And he said, well, I never read that. What word do I have to spell? And she thought for that a moment. She said, Czechoslovakia. So every now and then, that's about the way it is. All right, 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 1. The Bible says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. While they behold your chaste conversation, meaning your behavior, coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be a hidden man of the heart, and that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Now, last week, we kind of dove into what does that mean? And we spent some time in the introduction studying that text specifically, and then diving into what are some destructive character traits that every godly woman wants to avoid. We talked last week about the dominant wife and leading to that. Maybe it could be a sin nature or a rebellion issue. It might be it might be fear, a lack of faith that might be doing that. Or it might be a detached or an undernurturing father in the upbringing that led to that. Or we studied last week, it might be wrong training, just did not receive the training according to the Word of God. Or a dominant or choleric temperament could lead to that. Now, that's about all the time I have to spend on that. If you missed it, there's a website on the outline. You can listen to it last week and follow along that way. Diving into brand new material this morning that we're all ready to hear, we want to look at the second destructive character trait, and that is the enabler wife. The enabler wife. Now, before we can list what causes this, let's define it. When a person allows a loved one to behave in a destructive manner, a manner against the Word of God, they are enabling that person. They are aiding or helping that person to do that. And worse, when we are enabling a person, providing them the resources even, or maybe the atmosphere, promoting a destructive or wrong behavior in their life, then it's really on us. And there is a character trait amongst wives that if they slip into this enabler wife, enabling a potentially a husband or children or whatever to do something that's contrary to God's word, then we need to take action. And there's some influences that causes this and then some responses to it. What are they? Letter A, low self-esteem. Ladies with a low self-esteem often will fall prey to just being an enabler. It isn't right. It isn't according to the Word of God. It isn't the way that it should be, but she doesn't really think she deserves anything better. Now, ladies, I want to remind all of you this morning that God thinks much of you. God loves you. God made you. God thought so much of you that he sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for you. I believe he thought of you by name on the cross when he paid the sin debt of humanity. And that's how much God loves you. That's how much you mean to him. And so if you're a child of God, if you're the bride of Christ, you're somebody. And that's what God thinks. And that's what his word teaches as well. Now, it doesn't mean that You've got to find confidence in your identity with Christ and then rid all of your enabling relationships and leave your husband and leave your family and all. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is this. If there's part of your life that is enabling your family to do the wrong thing, then you do right. Then you do right. In other words, if somebody in our home is just gonna displease God, they should paddle that boat on their own. There should not be anybody else in the context of our home helping somebody to do something contrary to the Word of God. Now, there's a balance, and we understand, we've read about it here, that wives are to be subject to their husbands, but there's a greater authority in my home than mine. It's God's.
Amen.
And whenever I try to take my family out of bounds, it is the duty of God-fearing Christians in my home to say, honey, I love you. Please don't ask me to do that. You're asking me to violate the Word of God. You're asking me to sin against the God in whom I love and loves me. Please don't make me do that. And by the way, shame on me if I ever do. An enabling wife. And sometimes it's a low self-esteem. And it's not, again, that we need to desert, but we certainly need to stop the enabling behavior. There needs to be a relationship with God that is so cherished that we know, most of all, we need to be pleasing to Him. But it might be, letter B, a distorted view of love. Now, ladies, if you had a dominant or an abusive mother that maybe was very harsh, maybe she was much more focused on your discipline than your discipleship, you may kind of have a view of that, that you said, I don't want anything like it, therefore, I am going to be the opposite. My mom was all about rules and discipline and correction and so forth. And so I'm just going to be about love and whatever anybody wants to do, let's let them do it. And let's have no boundaries or guidelines or parameters, or let's not give any criteria that might inhibit the creativity of our children. And let's just let it be a free-spirited place where we could all be in tune with our inner child or whatever. I don't know what that might mean for you, but that's a distorted view of love. Now, a mom and dad who are all about discipline and didn't have the relationship, they didn't come to this class. Because in this class, we're learning that rules without a relationship breed resentment and rebellion. So we know we have to have the relationship. But we cannot just have a relationship without rules. Because that hurts them too. We have to have the balance, the relationship with the rules, the love with the correction. What's the biblical idea there? Grace and truth. Right? That's what Jesus Christ was, full of grace, full of truth, and that's got to be exhibited in our lives as well. So we have to have the right view of that. Our children need correction, and wives, we as husbands, we need your honest input. We need it, and you need to be able to provide it. Let her see. This could be because of a fear of rejection. Now, rejection is one of the deepest hurts that somebody can endure. And so when there's a fear of rejection, typically somebody will enable, or just not wanting to go through that, will just kind of let things go or let things slide. And ladies, I want to encourage you and remind you that fear is of the devil. And there's a healthier fear, and that's called the fear of God. The fear of God is a reverence of God. It's an awe of God. It's desiring to please and honor the Lord. And we want to, out of a fear of God, do the right thing. You're going to have to come to grips in your mind and heart that the greatest opinion of your life belongs to your Savior. That's something you have to settle. I can't settle that for you, but I'm encouraging you to have that. Because if you have that, then you're going to have the right focus and the right direction set for your life. And so we have to be careful of a fear of rejection. Listen, not everybody's going to understand when a family tries to live according to this book. Not everybody's going to understand when you govern your marriage according to the Bible and train your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There's going to be some people who don't understand that. That's okay. We don't want to have a high-minded, boy, we're amazing, look at us spirit, but we're also not going to run and hide either, because we believe in God. We believe in God's Word. We believe that it works, and we're not going to back off for fear of rejection. We're just going to do the right thing with the right spirit. And then it could be, letter D, a passive or a phlegmatic temperament. Again, some ladies are just born with a very sweet and laid-back, go-with-the-flow personality, and that works great in bonding and nurturing relationships, but it also is a temperament that has the potential to really enable some unhealthy living within those relationships. And you want to make sure that we're being careful. And so we learned last week, it should not be a dominant destructive character trait. There's to be a submissive spirit there, but it's not to be an enabling spirit. It's not to be, man, we're off the map in every area, but I guess it is what it is. No. I'm walking with God, and His view of my life is most important. And I'm not the Gestapo and the family detective, but I'm not going to enable somebody to do the wrong thing. And guys, that point is as much for us as it is for them. Because it should never be in our leadership of the home that our wives or children are feeling like they're enabling us to do the wrong thing. We have to get to this book. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. And this is the direction we're going. And then we got wives in this room who are just ramped up, ready to follow a man of faith and see a home be lived according to the Word of God. And so we want to make sure that's the spirit. So we want to avoid the dominance. We want to avoid the enabling. But thirdly, the distracted wife. Titus 2. The aged women likewise, that they be in behaviors becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women. Now that's every woman in this room, the young women, okay? To be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now we talked, and ladies, if you're newer, we spent 2 weeks on the destructive husband, so we're even, all right? And when we did that in this series, we talked about the man not being distracted, but being focused on his home, focused on God, and focused on his God-given responsibilities. But likewise, the wife needs that reminder and admonition as well. God has given in the husband's life a high priority as far as his wife and children. In fact, second only to God. But so it is for the wife. Second only to relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is her husband and her children. And those relationships need to be of that priority, and they need the time and energy necessary to nurture them accordingly. And so what is it that leads to this distraction? What are some root causes and then the solutions? Well, letter A, it can be a distracted husband. I believe that everything rises and falls on leadership. And sometimes when you have a distracted husband who has not made his wife and his children the priority that they should be, then the wife in turn says, well, then that's what I'm going to do. And she then begins to live a very distracted life. And I've talked to couples like this, and they are literally two ships passing in the night. She has her work, he has his, he has friends, his friends, she has hers, he has his hobbies, she has hers, he has what he does, she has what she does, he has his money, she has hers. I mean, it's just, they happen to have the same address on the mail, but that's about it. It's two ships passing in the night. The intimacy of husband and wife is gone. And certainly you would have there a distracted wife, somebody who's not giving the energy to her husband that should be. But sometimes what leads to that is a distracted husband, leaving a wife emotionally vulnerable and pursuing that. So men, and we learned it 2 weeks ago, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, but we've got to make our wife and our children the priority that they should be. But to the wives and who I'm teaching this morning, here's my encouragement to you. Pursue your husband no matter what. So if you're in this room this morning and you say, Brother Rule, that's me. My husband is distracted. I'm not the priority in his life that I should be. And that's kind of been my beef with it all. Then I want to encourage you to turn from trying to get even and just try to make up some ground and pursue him no matter what. Can I say something to you this morning? The prayers of a righteous wife are a powerful tool in the heart of a distracted husband. There's something about the prayers of a righteous wife. And ladies, I you know me well enough, and many of the men in the room agree, we're not advocating that we should be distracted and run all over the place. But I think all of us, if given the opportunity to stand behind this pulpit, would say, there have been times we've been out of priority. And I can just tell you, I'm thankful for a wife in that season who's not said, well, you're doing this wrong and doing this wrong, and I'm out of here and I'm going to go shop or whatever. I'm very thankful she doesn't do that. Amen. But I'm thankful in seasons like that, where maybe that's what I deserve, to be quite honest with you. She still pursued me and made me a priority. And I want to tell you something, ladies. That's convicting. And I just want to encourage you, do right because it's right. Sometimes it's a distracted husband, but you need to pursue him
anyway. Keep fighting for the heart of your husband. Every wife in this room, and some of you, my wife and I love you, and we're burdened for you, and we pray for you because you come week after week and your husband's not here. And I just want to encourage you, don't give up. Don't stop fighting for the heart of your husband. Don't stop fighting for a good Christian home. God is still working miracles, and God can't, and you got to trust Him in that. It could be, letter B, motherhood. Sometimes a wife is distracted very simply because she's a mom. And being a mom's a lot of work and managing all of that. And ladies, practically, I want to encourage you, train your children to respect your time with your husband. Make sure they understand that there are, you know, they're going to bed or they're doing whatever, or whatever the case may be, that, listen, mommy's having time with daddy and this is important. And I understand that children are a gift from God. We've spent weeks in this class talking about how can we parent according to the Word of God. But your relationship with your husband, according to the Scriptures, is of a higher priority than your relationship with your children. Now, I know some of you don't like that, but that's all right. I always tell you, my dad in our home, you know what he said? He said, I can always have more kids. I can only have one wife. And that was his way of saying, that's where you fit. That's where you are in the totem pole. And it was unashamed. That's the way it's going to be. And by the way, we turned out, you know, halfway figured out or whatever. But it didn't hurt too bad, you know. And by the way, mom and dad, 38 years later, still married. They were in Hawaii this summer celebrating their anniversary. Sending us pictures. And man, we're doing this. And it's great. And I think some of that is because way back here when the little ones could have consumed all the time, they said, hey, we're still going to have a priority right here. I'm not talking about deserting your kids. I'm not talking about not feeding them. I'm not talking about not loving them. I'm not talking about any of that. I'm just saying, hey, there's sometimes you're going to have to say, we're going to spend some time together and they will be just fine. Letter C, overload. When a woman has to work, raise kids, keep a house, love her husband, at times she can feel a little overwhelmed with all of that. And ladies, I want to encourage you, don't allow your busyness or the demands on your time and energy to rob you of the relationship that God created you to have with your husband. You and your husband may need to sit down and have a candid conversation. This is our life. This is the exertion of our time and energy and resources. Are we doing all of this correctly? Is this best? Do we need to make an adjustment? Is there something we need more than whatever it is we're accomplishing now? And that may just need to be a discussion that you have. But when people get busy, their tendency is to neglect the things that are most important in their lives. And we have to guard against that. Or letter D, it might be an unrestrained or a misprioritized relationship. I don't have time to develop this because this really could be quite a lengthy thought here. But for many women, it's relationships with friends, parents, other family members, co-workers that really pose a real threat to their marriage. So much time is being spent on that relationship and nurturing that relationship. Maybe it's time on the phone or a time at their house or always having them over at your house. And there's just some things happening that, quite frankly, from someone from the outside looking in from an objective view would say it's a little unhealthy. For a marriage to bond, for a husband and wife to relate properly, they need time and energy one for another on a daily basis alone. And if there's a relationship in your life, not talking about the one with God, but if there's another earthly relationship that's robbing from that, can I just say, and my name is Gabe and I'm your friend, it's not as important. And biblically speaking, it would do us well to say, you know what? We can't get together tonight. We can't come over. That event's not going to work because, quite frankly, we need some time together. Man, this thing's about to come off the wheels. It's about to come unraveled. We just need some time together to nurture our relationship, to strengthen it, to deepen the roots of it, and we're going to have to make it a higher priority if that's going to be accomplished. It can't be a dominant behavior. It can't be an enabling behavior. It cannot be a distracted behavior. And lastly, as we close this thought, the emotion-motivated wife. An emotionally motivated wife. The Bible says in Proverbs, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. Proverbs 14:1, every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands. And no doubt my prayer for our class is that it would be comprised of godly women who build their homes according to the Word of God. Now, Ladies, when we are emotionally driven, and ladies are emotional more than men, okay? We're living in a culture and society that continues to blur the line between male and female, men and women. But there is a line. Thank God there's a line. Okay? Thank God it's not just all guys on this planet, all right? And thank God it's not just all women. God saw Adam and said, man, you need help. And he created Eve. And Adam saw Eve and he said, this is good. I like it. This is awesome. This is the way it's supposed to be. This is better. And that's the way it is today. And that's the way God has designed it. But there is a vulnerability when we're relying more on feeling than on truth. Remember when Satan came to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? He began to tempt Eve. Did Eve know the truth? She absolutely did. She heard it from God, not to eat of that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But Satan told her, oh, no, 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 no. The reason God doesn't want you to eat of that fruit is because if you eat of it, you're going to be as wise as God. You're going to be like a God. And that sounded good to her, and so she ate. Now, listen, we all fall prey to temptation, but there certainly is truth to the battle of fighting our own emotions. I like to quote, feelings make a great caboose, but a terrible engine. We have to make the Word of God our engine. The Word of God has to drive our actions, and the feelings will come later when we are doing what we do according to truth. So how do we break out of the bondage of an emotionally driven life? Number one, we have to fight unbelief. The Bible says in Hebrews, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. We want to make sure we have faith in God and in His Word. And ladies, I just want to encourage you, and some of you are new and you're hearing some of these principles for the first time, and I just want to encourage you this morning, have faith in God and have faith in God's Word. You may be coming and listening and learning and taking notes and going home, and you feel like you're hitting a brick wall and a brick wall and a brick wall, and it's not quite breaking through, and I just want to encourage you, don't give up. Have faith in God. Have faith in His Word. Stay after it. God will bless your courageous obedience. Unbelief is not a problem. Unbelief is a sin. We have to believe God. Amen. We've got to believe His Word. We've got to believe His plan. And we indeed can trust Him. So we got to repent. Lord, help me to stop follow feeling, but help me to follow You and follow truth and to do what You would have me to do. And when I'll do that, and follow Him and no one else, God indeed will bless. So I've got to fight this tendency to be emotion-driven by faith in God. Letter B, it might be because of a lack of discipline. Some people had permissive parents who maybe never made them really do anything or never were corrected in such a way. And so maybe there was just some undisciplined character traits naturally developing in their life. And I just want to encourage you and all of us this morning that we've got to discipline ourselves and put some parameters around our life. God loves us. And in God's love, He says things like, do this, don't do that. Go here, don't go there. Say this, don't say that. And it's all under the umbrella of love. God loves you and I, therefore He sets a direction. God loves you and I, therefore He provides instruction. In fact, God loves us so much that when we're not following the instruction, here comes the correction, getting us back in line with Him. And we have to develop those disciplines in our life as well by going to the Word of God. Boy, this is what God said I should do. I've never really done it. I'm kind of scared to do it. I don't know that I feel like doing it, but because God said to do it, I'm going to do it. And the feelings will come and God will bless the obedience and it'll strengthen my home, my relationship with God and with my husband. So we got to fight unbelief with faith. We have to fight lack of discipline with being disciplined according to the Word of God. But then let us see, we have to fight deception or wrong information. Now the Bible says in John 8, of the devil, that he is a liar and the father of it. And those certainly that would follow that are there. And we see that the Satan is a master at deception. He's a master at packaging something that looks and sounds like something God said, but it indeed is nothing of the sort. It's a different direction in which he is trying to lead. And Satan specializes in filling our minds with disinformation and resentment and fear and disgust and rebellion. And anything that God says is good and wholesome and what we want, Satan is trying to send us in the opposite direction, following an opposite path. And I just want to encourage all of us this morning, and wives, as we think of this, It doesn't matter who you're getting advice from, a friend, a Facebook companion, a coworker. If any person is advising you contrary to the Word of God, there's got to be something in your heart that says, no, no, no. Why? Because I know God loves me. And I know that Satan hates me and hates my family. And I know that Satan's going to try to send me disinformation and try to send me down the wrong path and tempt me to go here when God says go there. And so I'm just going to discipline my life in faith that when somebody comes to me, and it could be somebody very close to you and someone in whom you love and potentially even admire, that begins to tell you things that are contrary to the Word of God. And I just want to encourage you, as 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Listen, remember any thought you do not take into captivity and bring into agreement with the Word of God, you will become captivated by it. You've got to bring these thoughts into captivity in agreement with the Word of God and say, listen, if it doesn't agree with the Word of God, it doesn't belong in my life. I'm not going to become captive to something that is against God. Your marriage, your life is too precious to allow it to be destroyed by Satan's lies. So you've got to use the Bible. You've got to know what truth is. And then you've got to find the courage to follow it. There's some destructive traits every godly woman wants to avoid. Not to be dominant. Not to be enabling. Not to be allowing people around them to be doing the wrong thing all the time. Not to be distracted and losing their focus on their home. And not to be somebody who, because of fear of what others may think, is emotionally driven by feeling to just do whatever I can to survive that day. But rather finds a relationship with God and His Word and finds truth and says, this is what I'm going to do today. This is going to be the pattern that I follow. And I pray that families in His design are strengthened because there's godly women in this room that say, Lord, help me not to exhibit any of those traits, but help me to have faith in Your Word and follow You courageously. Heavenly Father, we love You and we thank You for some time together this morning. Lord, I pray that You would greatly strengthen the families in our class. Lord, I pray that You'd help us even today to be a blessing to the Hopkins, and on our way out to give an offering to be a blessing to them in this time of loss. Help us this week to live according to Your Word. May we bring You honor and glory, and would You strengthen, protect, and bless every home here, and we will surely praise and thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen.